Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Frank. I'm the preacher here at South Lansing Christian Church. I'm really glad that you're with us today. It's been a good weekend, and I've just seen the Lord work in some ways, and I just want you to know that God has promised to be in this place today. There's nothing more important that you will do today than to spend time with your Heavenly Father. And Jesus said, whenever two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And so you have the opportunity today to connect with a God who loves you, who created you, who has the power to sustain you and lift you up. The same power that rolled the stone away from the grave is alive in you today. And so I hope as we spend some time in God's word today that you'll be encouraged and strengthened. I hope as we worship here again near the end of the service through singing and through receiving communion and through giving an offering that you'll give of yourself wholeheartedly and completely, that you'll be able to say to God, here is my offering. Hey, before we get started on the message, I just want to tell you about some things that are coming up in the next few weeks. When you came in the lobby, you saw the Summer Strong display, and that means it's time for Summer Strong again here at South Lansing Christian Church. This is something we do here every year at South because we believe that summer ought to be a time of growth. A lot of churches go through a summer slump where people go to the lake and people go on vacation and they kind of check out from church again until September or October. And we recognize that God wants you to have times of renewal. Yeah, God wants you to take your family to Cedar Point. God wants you to go to the lake. I got some middle schoolers giving their parents an amen right now. God wants you to go to the lake. God wants you to be rejuvenated this summer. But the grass grows, the corn grows, the fruit trees bear fruit. Everything grows in the summer. And we want you to grow spiritually this summer too. And so we're encouraging you to sign up beginning this week for Summer Strong, which is our summer effort to grow strong in your faith. And you can do all of that out at the lobby. There's a Summer Strong display out there in the lobby. I just want to highlight a couple of things for you that are maybe new this year to Summer Strong that we want you to take part in. The first is we want you to connect with a training partner. Someone that you can run with or that you can grow with this summer. We want you to connect with one or two other people and together as a duo or a trio, encourage each other to grow this summer. And you can sign up maybe with somebody in your small group or maybe you know someone here at South that you just love to say, okay, for the next 3 months, we're going to partner together to help each other grow. And when you do that, you can sign up your training partner and yourself at the Summer Strong display. And we're going to give you either a paracord bracelet that you too can wear just to remind you. So when you're at work or when you're whatever you're doing this summer, you see that paracord and you, okay, I need to pray for my training partner. Or if you prefer, we're going to give you matching shoestrings, right? That you can put in your shoes. And then you guys can say, okay, this summer, I am really going to focus on praying for and encouraging my training partner to grow. In addition, we're going to give you a training manual that's going to specifically guide you how to go about doing that. There are some suggestions in here of questions you can ask each other to help each other grow and just some great resources if you sign up with your training partner. We encourage you so much to do that. Here's the other thing we're doing. We're also offering this year 4 Summer Strong electives. We're calling them Summer Strong electives. These are specific areas where you can target your spiritual growth this summer. 4 of them, they meet either on a Tuesday or a Thursday night, and they're every other week because we recognize it's hard to hit every single week. Your kids got ball games, you got things you got to do. So they're every other week, and they're staggered times so you can choose which one fits your schedule the best. Some of the classes include growing strong in your marriage. You're saying, well, Frank, I've got a great marriage. You know what? We're going to make sure it gets even better. And Jamie Neuenschwander is going to lead a 6-week summer elective on growing strong in your marriage. She's going to give you some great tools that you can use to make your marriage even better. Or maybe it's, I'm going to be actually teaching an elective on parenting, and I'm going to focus on millennials. If you're parenting or if you're grandparenting a millennial, we're going to talk for 6 weeks about what that looks like. What is this unique generation of 86 million people like so that you can better know how to parent or grandparent your millennial? We're going to have a six-week elective on growing strong in the Word. And what we're going to do with that class that Jim Snelson is teaching is give you the tools that you need to really know how to study the Bible for yourself. Not just like flip through and point to a verse and think, oh, cherry pick that verse for the day, but how to really dive in and go deep and understand what that text is about so you can begin to study God's Word more effectively for yourself. And then Jim Pennington's going to teach a six-week elective on growing strong in your Christian identity. What does it really mean that you're a follower of Jesus? That you're marked by his name, that you are a Christian. And when you understand your Christian identity, man, you can really begin to grow stronger in your faith. And so those four electives, you can sign up for those at the Summer Strong booth out in the lobby. And then one last thing we have for you, and we want everyone to pick up one of these. It's just our Summer Strong calendar. It has the events that are taking place here at South Lansing Christian Church this summer. It tells you when those electives take place that I just mentioned. And we have an event every month this summer that your small group can engage in. Maybe if you're like my group, we kind of take a break for the summer, but we still want to stay connected. And so we're providing some events where you can get connected, like the church picnic and like a Lugnuts game that many of our folks go to. And the first of those is coming up next week, or this next weekend. Dad Fest is this weekend, and you guys, some of you have done this. You've taken your kids, and we set up tents out here in the back 40 at the church, and we have all kinds of fun, and, you know, there's campfire and s'mores, and LFD is going to be here for Touch a Truck, and LPD is going to be here for a canine demonstration. We're planning on having a hot rod here and an old car. We're doing all kinds of fun things, and we want you and your kids to get signed up for that. And dads, you can sign up for that this morning at the guest services counter. So Dad Fest is coming up this weekend. Everything I just talked about, you can get the information for that at the Summer Strong booth in the lobby or online at seekstudyserve.org, or you can access it through our app, our South Lansing Christian Church app. It's a lot to take in, isn't it? All right, so I just want to pray, and then we'll dive in to our teaching for this morning. God, we thank you for being never changing. And a lot of times that's really all we have to hold on to. When our business is failing, we cling to the promise that you never change, that you never fail. When our health is failing, we know that you never fail. Your promises endure. When we lose someone we love, the only thing we can hold on to is your love for us. We know that your promises are true, that you are faithful. You give us to endure even when we think we can't go on. You give us the strength to endure. Help us this morning, Father, as we understand or dive into the text today and really understand what it means to be grandparents, to finish well. Help us to grab a hold of that, Father, with tenacity and to reflect your faithfulness in the way that we live out our faith. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, if you have your app open, you can turn to the YouVersion and you can dive in with the text with me. We encourage you to do that. If you haven't downloaded the app, go ahead and do that. But we're in this series called My Awkward Family. And no series with that title would be complete if we didn't talk about grandparents. Grandparents. Now, my wife and I don't have any grandchildren. Excuse me. Years ago, I thought grandparenting was just something for old people, right? But now I'm 50 years old, and now I'm thinking, that'd be okay. I could do that. And so every time one of my sons brings a girl home, I find myself sort of slipping into Dwight Schrute mode. You know Dwight Schrute from The Office? My son brings a girl home, and I'm just being transparent here, all right? We're all family, right? I'm like, good bone structure. Good with children, childbearing hips. I think so, right? Hey, I'm just being honest. Neither of my sons are here today. Neither of their girlfriends are here today. So I can say what I want to say and I can get away with it. I'm just being honest. It's an awkward family. Right? But not everything about grandparenting is roses. Not everything's great. I understand this, even though I haven't experienced it. Someone who has experienced it is comedian Jeff Allen. Let's take a look at him.
And now we have grandchildren. We got two little granddaughters. I got to tell you, everything they told me about grandchildren is true. They are the reward for not stabbing your 16-year-old son. So fight the urge, let the little ingrate live, and he'll bring you a nice package. But you forget, when you're a grandparent, you forgot how sick you were when little children were running around. You've never been sick in your life till you bred children. They go to preschool and they're little petri dishes and everything sticks to them, every germ known to mankind. If you went to a preschool in America and shut off the lights and turned on a black light, it would look like the surface of the sun in there. Stuff just jumping off these kids, bubbling and gurgling. They give stuff to each other. Give this one to your papaw. And they wait till you're sleeping on the couch and they just crawl on your chest and they sit there and stare at you while you're sleeping. And because of gravity, everything in their mouth is splashing on your face. It's like sleeping under a toxic rain pipe or something. And the worst is when they take a drink out of your water. Oh my gosh, they hand it back. There's a 6-course meal floating around on top of it. Oh, I think Papaw get a new glass of water. Water shouldn't have 17 grams of fiber in it. And we all know how much Papaw loves his fiber. And you have not lived a full life till you get woken up to the vomit dance at 4 in the morning. Wake up to a 6-year-old standing by your bed. What do you want? What do you want? Use your words. Oh, I don't care how tired you are. Now you're running down the hall in a full sprint. Got him out in front of you. Hang on, man. We're almost there. Sometimes they want to turn around and chat. Daddy, face that front. And you never make it to the commode. As soon as that kid spots porcelain, blop. Oh, man. You went for the 3-pointer. Drive the lane next time.
It sounds like I have a lot to look forward to, right? Yeah, so, and I get it. We're talking about grandparenting today in this series called My Awkward Family. Not everybody here is a grandpa. Not everybody here is a grandpa. Some of you who are probably thinking about now, finally, a sermon in this series that really applies to me, and I can take note, and you're perked up, and you're like ready for what the Lord has for you today. Some of you are like, I'm not even close to being a grandparent. Some of you are like 3 screens deep into Facebook right now because you've already decided that this doesn't apply to you, and you've kind of moved on. Well, listen, the theme of this entire series is that God wants you to be the kind of relative you wish you had, or that you hope to one day have, right? And so to those of you who are grandparents, I would say to you today that you need to be the kind of grandpa or grandma that you wish you had. Be the kind of grandpa or grandma you wish you had. For some of you, that's easy because you had great grandparents. That was modeled for you. You understand what that looks like. It's easy for you to be the kind of grandpa or grandma that you wish you had because you did have a great grandparent. For some of you, that's difficult. Maybe you didn't know your grandparents. They passed away when you were quite young. Or maybe your grandparents lived far away. That happens so much in our world today. Or maybe your grandparents were just kind of around but not really emotionally available. And so when we talk about being the kind of grandparent you wish you had, that is a concept that you get, but maybe it doesn't quite register. Or some of you, right now, you know what? You're not married. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're a middle schooler, and you're thinking, you're talking about grandparents. What's that all about? Well, there's a principle that I want us to grab a hold of today that if you're a grandpa or a grandma, it's incredibly important for you. But if you're not, but you have a grandpa You have a grandma. This is something that you need to communicate to him or her, because believe it or not, this is something that you need from them. And so if you've got a grandpa, you've got a grandma, you're not a grandparent yourself, but you've got one, this is something you need to communicate to him or her. And this principle is this. The best thing you can do for your grandchildren is to finish well. That's the absolute best thing you can do for your grandchildren. If you're a grandpa, if you're a grandma, the best thing you can do for them is to finish well. You're not a grandpa, you're not a grandma, but you've got one. It's important for you to be able to tell him, to tell her, listen, grandpa, grandma, the best thing you can do for me is to finish well. We go throughout our life and we teach our children things. We teach our grandchildren things. And the things that we communicate, the things that we teach to them are either verified by the way we finish or they're negated by the way we finish. The best thing you can do for your grandchildren is to finish well. There's a verse that's tucked in the Old Testament that speaks about this very thing. I want to give you the context of this verse. It's a verse that's found in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy is one of the first five books of the Old Testament. It's the last book of Moses. Moses was the prophet who led the children out of Israel. They were out of Egypt. They were in captivity in Egypt, and he led them out of captivity and to the promised land, the land that God promised them, the land that is the modern-day state of Israel. And the book starts out with Moses giving them this lengthy speech. And he records the history of the last 40 years of the children of Israel. He says, listen, you were enslaved in Egypt, and God led you out of Egypt to the right up to the edge of this promised land. He took you out of slavery. He led you through the wilderness, right up to the edge of the promised land. And he said, I want you to go in. I want you to invade the land. I want you to take possession of it. Moses says, but you were afraid, and so you decided you were going to send some spies in to check out the land. And so you sent 12 spies in. They went throughout the land. They came back. They gave a report. Two of them said, the land is good. The people are powerful, but God will enable us to experience victory. But 10 of them said, the land is good. The people are powerful. They're too powerful for us. And so Moses says, in your fear, you decided to disobey God and not go in and take the land. Moses says, because of that, God punished your parents. God told your parents, because of your disobedience, I'm going to force you to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years until every single person in this generation is gone. When God pronounced that judgment upon your parents, they'd wised up. They said, oh man, we've blown it. And so now we'll go in, now we'll invade the land, but it was too late. They disobeyed God a second time. When God said, now you're going to wander in the wilderness, they said, no, we're going to invade. And so your parents went into the land and they were slaughtered. And so once turned back from the promised land, Moses says, they wandered around in the desert for 40 years until every single person in your parents' generation was killed or died, save two, Joshua and Caleb. Moses continues his speech and he says, now here we are again at the edge of the promised land. You are a new generation. Your parents are gone. You are the children and the children's children. You are battle tested from having wandered these 40 years in the wilderness. And now here we stand at the edge of God's promised land. Joshua is here. Caleb is here. They will lead us to victory. Moses said, even I won't be able to enter into the land, but God will give us victory. And if you read the speech, you begin to realize that Moses kind of sounds like a grandpa himself. I mean, he says things like, back in my day, we didn't have bottled water. I had to hit the rock with a stick, you know? He says, back in my day, all we had was manna and quail. You kids today get fresh produce. You know, he kind of sounds like a grandpa. And then Moses, at the end of this speech, performs a function that I think only grandparents can really effectively or at least out of their own experience, perform. Moses connects the next generation to the ones that have gone before. He tells this story. He says, this is what happened. This is what God did. He connects the next generation to their predecessors, their ancestors. I want us to focus in on just one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. If you have it, the Bible, you can turn to it or click to it. It'll be on the screen behind me. Look at what Moses says. He says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things you have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and their children after them. There are two parts, two commands in this one passage. The first is pretty simple. Moses says, don't forget. Don't forget. In fact, he says, be careful. Watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget. Now, listen, it is so easy to forget the things that we have seen God do. It's just easy. We move at the speed of life, and it's easy to forget what God did previously. One of the ways that I try to remember the things that God has done in my life is through the discipline of journaling. I've experienced that at times where I've done great. I've journaled consistently and regularly. There have been times where I have not been as consistent. But as I do that, the times where I've really been consistent in journaling, it's proven to be incredibly beneficial to me. What I do is I write down maybe something I've read. Maybe it's a scripture that I've read that just really is meaningful. I write that down and then jot down some thoughts about it. So a few weeks ago, I pull out some of my old journals from way back in the way back. And I was focused on a specific time in my life when things were just really, really difficult. And I was just reading through the prayers that I had, the prayers that I'd written down in my journal, the times that I've cried out to God. And I was remembering back to the way that God just showed up. God showed up. And it reminded me again that God is for me. Moses says, don't forget. Listen, what are you doing to make sure you don't forget the things that you have seen God do with your own eyes? What are you doing to make sure or to make certain that those times in your life when God has shown up and has been incredibly powerful, what are you doing to make sure that you remember those times in your life? Because they're just easy to forget. And Moses says, you don't want to let those fade from your heart. Remember them. Don't let them fade from your heart. Figure out a way, grandpa, grandma, right? Figure out a way to remember those things that God did for you. And think about this. Those journals that you write where God showed up, those can be a blessing not just to you, but to your children and to your children's children and to their children as they're passed down from generation to generation. And your kids can see the way that God has worked in your family's life in multiple generations. What a powerful testimony. You want to finish well? You want to finish well? Make sure you don't forget the things that God has done in the past. That's the first command. Don't forget. Here's the second one. He says, teach them to your children and to your children's children. When's the last time you sat down with your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter? When's the last time you sat down with them and you just recounted for them the things that God has done in your family? What an incredibly powerful thing to do. Hey, let me tell you about the time that your dad was sick and we didn't know what we were going to do. Let me tell you about the way God came through. Hey, let me tell you about the time when Grandpa was in the war and we hadn't heard from him in months and all we could do was pray for him and God answered our prayers. Let me tell you about the time when money was so tight, we were so poor we couldn't afford to pay attention. Let me tell you about the time when we had to choose between are we going to be faithful to God and tithe or are we going to pay the rent? And we honored God with our tithe, and he showed up in this way. Tell the stories of what God has done in your life to your children and to your children's children. There's something incredibly powerful about doing that. And I'm telling you, when you have, particularly as grandparents, when you have the benefit of gray hair or no hair and all of that wisdom, it's a powerful impact that it can have on the children in your life, your grandchildren, your children, your children's children. There's a powerful impact in their life when you can say, we begged God to show up and here's how he did. Moses says, remember, he says, don't forget the things that God has done. Teach them to your children and to your children's children. And I'm telling you, if you will do that consistently, regularly, grandpa, grandma, you will finish well. And that's the best thing you can do for your grandchildren, is to finish well. There's a psalm written by an unknown author. A lot of the psalms, we don't know who wrote them. I'm convinced this one was a grandparent. Now, that's me speculating. That's not the word according to the Lord. That's the speculation according to Frank, right? I'm convinced that this psalmist was a grandparent because it's a prayer that this psalmist makes and that I would echo, a prayer for every gray-haired or no-haired person in this place, right? And if that doesn't describe you, if you say, Frank, I'm not a grandpa, I'm not a grandma, I've got all my hair, I can hear, I don't drive with my left turn signal on, right? If that's not, hey, you know, I do that, right? So if that's not you, then let this be your prayer for your grandpa, your grandma, that grandparent figure in your life. Let this be your prayer for them. Psalm 92, we're just going to start in verse 10. The psalmist says, you have made me as strong as a wild ox. I thought that'd make a good name for a cologne, wild ox. Sorry. You've made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. Listen, if you're approaching retirement or if you're there, I'm praying that your second adulthood will be even better than your first. This word here that's translated finest oil, that Hebrew word really is better translated freshest oil or fresh oil. Whenever you see oil in the Old Testament, or a lot of times when you see oil in the Old Testament, particularly anointing oil, it's used to symbolize God's anointing on some person, some task that God has given that person to perform. God has specially singled out someone and selected them to perform a task, whether it's to be the king or whether it's to lead his people. God anoints that person, gives them a specific task. And here the psalmist says, you've anointed me with the freshest oil. My prayer for you, grandpa, grandma, newly retired, about to retire person, my prayer for you is that in your second adulthood, God will give you a fresh anointing, that God's Spirit will come upon you and you'll have some new task that he's given you to do. Because your generation, the baby boomers, the traditionalists, now Gen Xers, some of them are retiring, your generation has the opportunity to do something that no generation before them has ever had. Ever, literally. You have the opportunity to do something no generation has ever had, and that is to experience a second adulthood. You're healthy enough. You live long enough, you've got more free time than you've ever had, and you've got more disposable income because your kid is finally off of your insurance and your cell phone plan, right? And now you can do something powerful in the kingdom of God because you've got this free time, you've got these resources. Man, I beg of you, don't waste that time going to the casino in Mount Pleasant for the next 25 years. Right? Do something to make a difference in the kingdom of God. My prayer for you is that you will have a fresh anointing. You've made me as strong as a wild ox. You've anointed me with the freshest oil. Verse 11, my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. I don't know if you have enemies in your life. The psalmist did. But I know me well enough to know that I am my own worst enemy. And my prayer for you as you move into this next season of your life, right, as you become a grandpa or become a grandma, you're able to invest in your children's children, my prayer for you is that you will overcome the temptations of your youth. That those spiritual enemies that have plagued you, maybe it's worry, maybe it's being too busy, maybe it's pursuing pleasure over God or you know, possessions, or I don't know what it is. My prayer for you is that you will overcome those temptations, that your spiritual enemies will be vanquished so that you can grow in holiness and in usefulness to God. So that your children's children will be able to look at you and say, you know what? Grandma is the holiest woman I know. Grandpa's the closest person to God that I've ever met. See, it's important. The most important thing you can do for your grandchildren is to finish well. Here's the rest of my prayer for you, beginning in verse 12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and go strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock." That's my prayer for you. If you're a grandpa, if you're a grandma, most important thing you can do for your grandchildren is to finish well. If you're not, but you've got a grandpa, you've got a grandma, let this be your prayer. That your papa, that your mimi, that your nana, that he, that she will finish well. Let's pray together. Father, may your word take root in our heart today. May those of us who have young people that look up to us, may we finish well. God, help us to set aside the temptations of our youth. Help us to pursue you with holiness that's born from a tenacity, God, that just says there's nothing more important in my life than pursuing God. Lord, for those of us who stand looking up at our elders, grandpas, grandmas, people who've lived long lives, God, help us to be their cheerleaders, to cheer them on and to encourage them to finish well. Help us to remember and not forget what you've done. Help us to teach it to our children and our children's children. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this meal that we participate in every Sunday is all about remembering. Moses said, be careful not to forget. It's one of the reasons we share in this meal every single week. Because we don't ever want to forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. How he took your sin and my sin and placed the burden of our sin on his own shoulders and paid the penalty for that sin through his death on the cross. And how after his death, God overcame death by raising his son Jesus from the dead. And so we share in this meal. We eat some bread because when you crush that bread, it reminds you of how Jesus' body was crushed. When you drink that juice, it reminds you of how Jesus' blood flowed from his broken and battered body. And while we spend some time remembering what Jesus did for us, it's a good opportunity for you to maybe find someone in a blue lanyard and say, let's talk about what's next for me. Maybe the next thing for you is to choose to follow Jesus and to give him control over your life. To submit to him and say, Jesus is my Lord. We'd love to talk with you about how to do that. We'd love to talk with you about being baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the next step for you is to say, I want to be a part of this church. I want this church to be my family, and I want to support my family members. And we'd love to talk with you about how you can make South Lansing Christian Church your home. Maybe the next step for you is to find somebody in a blue lanyard and say, I'm really struggling today, and I need you to pray with me. I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what the next step is, but I do know this. God's always challenging us to take the next step. And so as we remember what Jesus did for us today, will you honor him by submitting your life to his and taking whatever next step he's calling you to take? When we receive this meal, here's how it works. Wally's going to play some songs. We'll have a chance to worship all of us together. You'll be able to go to any one of these six tables throughout the room, at the beginning, at the middle, at the end, whenever you're led to do so. You can go by yourself, with your family, with your small group. If you're unable to get up and move around, that's no problem. Just kind of wave your hand. One of our ushers will find you, because this is something we all do together, and we don't want you to be left out. Let's stand, let's sing together, and as we do, come and receive this gift.